I was so deep in these thoughts that I didn't at first grasp what the woman behind the desk had told me. I had to ask her to repeat it. I said that she's in room 487, but you can't go up just now. Visiting hours end at 9. But I felt suddenly woozy. I gripped the edge of the desk. The lobby was lit by fluorescence, and in that bright, even glare, the cuts on the backs of my hands stood out boldly. 8 small purple crescents, like grins, just above the knuckles. The man in the pickup was right. I ought to get some disinfectant on those. The woman behind the desk was looking at me patiently. The plaque in front of her said she was Yvonne Ederle.
But is she all right?
She looked at her computer. What I have here is S, stands for satisfactory, and 4 is a general population floor. If your mother had taken a turn for the worse, she'd be in ICU. That's on 3. I'm sure if you come back tomorrow, you'll find her just fine. Visiting hours begin at...
She's my ma, I said.
I hitchhiked all the way down from the University of Maine to see her. Don't you think I could go up, just for a few minutes?
Exceptions are sometimes made for immediate family, she said, and gave me a smile. You just hang on a second, let me see what I can do.
She picked up the phone and punched a couple of buttons, no doubt calling the nurse's station on the 4th floor, and I could see the course of the next 2 minutes as if I really did have second sight. Yvonne, the information lady, would ask if the son of Jean Parker in 487 could come up for a minute or two, just long enough to give his mother a kiss and an encouraging word, and the nurse would say, "Oh, God, Mrs. Parker died not 15 minutes ago. We just sent her down to the morgue. We haven't had a chance to update the computer. This is so terrible."
The woman at the desk said, "Muriel, it's Yvonne. I have a young man down here at the desk. His name is..."
She looked at me, eyebrows raised, and I gave her my name.
"Alan Parker. His mother is Jean Parker in 487. He wonders if he could just..."
She stopped, listened. On the other end, the nurse on the 4th floor was no doubt telling her that Jean Parker was dead.
"All right," Yvonne said. "Yes, I understand."
She sat quietly for a moment, looking off into space, then put the mouthpiece of the telephone against her shoulder and said, "She's sending Ann Corrigan down to peek in on her. It will only be a second."
"It never ends," I said.
Yvonne frowned.
"I beg pardon?"
"Nothing," I said. "It's been a long night, and..."
"And you're worried about your mom, of course.
I think you're a very good son to drop everything the way you did and come on the run." I suspected Yvonne Ederle's opinion of me would have taken a drastic drop if she'd heard my conversation with the young man behind the wheel of the Mustang. But, of course, she hadn't. That was a little secret, just between George and me.